Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to build that classic jungle feeling where the drums hit hard, the mids have that dusty warehouse grit, and the vocal texture sits right in the pocket instead of floating awkwardly on top. The big idea here is balance. You want crisp transients so the kick and snare cut through. You want dusty mids so the loop feels lived in and sample-based. And you want vocal fragments or atmospheres that add emotion and identity without stealing focus from the groove. If you get that balance right, the whole thing starts to feel raw, energetic, and very alive. I'm in Ableton Live 12, and I'm starting with a fresh set at a jungle-friendly tempo, somewhere around 170 BPM. You can work a little slower or faster depending on your style, but that range is a great starting point for this kind of drum programming. First, I'm setting up three tracks, one for the main break, one for a kick and snare layer, and one for vocal texture. That separation matters. It lets you treat each role differently instead of trying to force one sample to do everything. On the main break, I want a loop with character. Something with clear transient detail and some mid-range dirt, like an amen-style break or a dusty funk loop. If the break is too polished, that's okay. We can still make it feel more jungle-friendly, but if it already has some grit, that usually helps right away. The first cleanup step is simple. I'm using EQ8 to remove unnecessary low rumble, usually with a gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz. I'm not trying to thin the breakout. I just want to clear the subsonic junk that doesn't help the groove. If the loop feels muddy, I'll make a small cut somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz. That's the area where breaks can start to feel cloudy if you overdo it. Now, if the transient feel is a little soft, I'm checking the warp mode before I reach for heavy processing. In jungle, that attack is everything. If the sample is getting smeared, try beats mode for punchier transient preservation. If the loop still feels too blurred, tighten the clip, trim the start, or adjust the warp markers before adding more plugins. A lot of people skip that step and immediately go into compression, but fixing the envelope first is usually the smarter move. Next, I'm building transient definition with a kick and snare layer. This is where the drums start to snap. You can do this with a drum rock on a MIDI track, or with auto clips if you prefer. I'm keeping it simple. A short, punchy kick and a snappy snare or rimshot. If needed, I'll layer two snares. One layer gives me the sharp attack, and the other gives me that dusty mid-range body. That combination is really useful because it lets the snare feel both clean and worn in at the same time. If I'm using simpler, I'm trimming the sample tightly and making sure the start point is right on the transient. I don't want any extra fade unless the sample really needs it. For the kick, I might pitch it slightly down if I want more weight. For the snare, I'm listening for two things, crack in the upper mids and body in the low mids. If it feels too papery, I'll add a little around 180 to 250 Hz. If it needs more bite, I'll touch the 2 to 5 kHz region. And if it starts getting harsh or spitty, I'll take a little dip around 6 to 8 kHz. Now let's bring in drum bus, because this device is a secret weapon for jungle drums. I'm using it on the drum group, and I'm keeping the settings controlled. A little drive goes a long way. A little transience boost can make the groove jump forward. Crunch can add that dusty edge, but don't overcook it. And boom, usually subtle or off. If the bass line is already doing the heavy lifting, this is one of those moments where less can really be more. You're not trying to flatten the drums. You're trying to make them feel exciting, worn in, and punchy all at once. Now I'm grouping the break and the kick snare layer together and shaping that group with a texture chain. My go-to order here is EQ8, then drum bus, then saturator, then glue compressor. The EQ is mainly for cleanup and a little tone shaping. I'll cut any deep sub rumble, take out boxiness if it builds up in the 300 to 500 Hz range, and maybe add a small lift in the 1.5 to 3 kHz area if I want more stick articulation. Then drum bus adds grit and transient push. After that, saturator helps thicken the mids and gives the whole group a bit of that sample-era density. If I want a more controlled kind of distortion, I'll use soft clip. If I want it a little harsher and more aggressive, I can push it harder, but I'm always listening for whether the transients are still readable. Finally, glue compressor ties the group together. I'm not looking for big gain reduction here. 1 to 3 dB is plenty in most cases. The goal is cohesion, not squashing. The drums should still breathe. Now for the vocal texture, and this is where the vibe really comes alive. In jungle, the vocal usually works best as fragments, not as a polished lead. Thick chopped phrases, spoken words, breathy syllables, soul vocal tales, little shouts, little ghosts. The vocal should feel like part of the rhythm and atmosphere, not like a pop feature dropped on top. I'm using EQ8 on the vocal track to place it in the mid-range pocket. That usually means high passing somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, removing mud around 250 to 500 Hz, and maybe smoothing a harsh area around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz, if needed. If I want the vocal to feel a little more distant or dusty, I'll also gently low pass it around 10 to 14 kHz. That's an important point. A vocal does not need to be bright to feel present. In a jungle context, a darker vocal can actually sound more authentic, especially if the drums already have enough top-end definition. For character, an eye combining auto filter, redux, echo, and reverb. Auto filter gives me movement and lets me shape the vocal into a band-limited texture if I want. Redux can add a little lo-fi edge, but I use it carefully because it can get obvious fast. Echo is great for short delays or dub-style throws, especially if you filter the repeats so they stay dark. Reverb should usually stay small to medium and fairly dark, so it supports the atmosphere without washing out the groove. A really useful mindset here is to treat the vocal texture almost like another percussion layer. If you process it with saturation, filtering, and subtle compression, it starts to sit in the same world as the break. That's how you get that embedded jungle feel instead of a vocal that sounds pasted on. Now let's make room dynamically. Jungle and DNB live or die by the relationship between drums, vocal texture, and bass. If the vocal tails are masking the snare, I'm going to sidechain the vocal track to the drum group or the kick. Even a small amount of ducking can make the transient punch much clearer. I'm usually going with a fast attack, a medium release, and just a few dB of gain reduction. The goal is subtle movement, not an obvious pumping effect unless that's what you want artistically. And when the bass line comes in, it needs its own space too. If the bass is too full in the low mids, it can step right into the same zone as the dusty drums. So I'm always checking for buildup around 200 to 400 Hz and making sure the bass and drum mids aren't fighting each other. The groove should feel interlocked, not crowded. Now I want to create some parallel processing, because that's how you make the whole setup feel bigger without losing clarity. I'm creating a return track called Drum Dirt. On that send, I'm putting saturator, redux, EQ8, and compressor. I'm pushing the saturation hard enough to hear the texture, reducing bit depth lightly if I want some old-school roughness, filtering out unnecessary low end, and then compressing the result so the grit stays stable. I can send the break, the snare, and even the vocal chops into this return that creates a unified dirty layer that helps glue the whole texture together. Then I'm making another return called Dark Space. This one is for atmosphere. I'm using reverb, then EQ8. Then a filter. I want the reverb dark, controlled, and tucked behind the dry drums. A decay somewhere around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds can work well, but the key is to keep the space from clouding the groove. High pass the reverb return enough so it doesn't build mud, and keep the highs controlled so the tail feels haunted instead of shiny. This is where things start to sound like a real jungle record. Now let's talk arrangement, because a loop only feels good if it evolves. A static 4-bar pattern gets old fast, especially in break-heavy music. For bar 1, I might have the full break, the kick and snare layer, and a short vocal chop on the offbeat. In bar 2, I'll remove one kick or add a ghost hit, maybe throw in a reversed vocal tail. In bar 3, I can bring in a little extra percussion or a small fill, plus a vocal repeat with delay. And in bar 4, I'll strip something back, maybe drop a few mid-range elements and let a snare fill or break slice lead back into the next phrase. Those tiny moves matter a lot. You do not need a giant change every bar. You just need enough motion that the listener feels the loop breathe. Use automation wherever you can. Filter cutoff, reverb send amount, echo feedback, saturator drive, little volume rides on the vocal chop, maybe even small changes in the break level. The more you make the loop feel performed rather than copy-pasted, the more alive it will sound. A good coaching tip here is to think in terms of roles, not just sound. Let one layer be ugly and one layer be clean. For example, maybe the break is dirty and the snare layer is tight and focused. Or maybe the break stays cleaner and the vocal is the worn-out texture. Contrast makes each part easier to hear, and it keeps the groove from turning into a blur. When you check the balance, don't do it only in solo. Bring in a simple sub-bass or a rolling reese and hear how everything fits together. Ask yourself, is the vocal texture stealing the snare's impact? Is the break too bright? Are the dusty mids getting too thick? Can you still hear the transient snap on smaller speakers? That last one is huge. Jungle often lives or dies in the mid-range, especially when you're listening on headphones or less than perfect systems. Also, listen quietly. If the loop still feels exciting at low volume, That's usually a very good sign. It means the transient to texture balance is working. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the vocal too clean. Don't overcompress the break. Don't let the low mids pile up. And don't drown everything in reverb. Fast music needs clarity. The atmosphere should support the rhythm, not bury it. If you want to push this further, try some of these advanced moves. Use ghost vocal syncopation. Instead of placing chops on obvious downbeats, tuck them into late offbeats or little pickup spaces after the snare. That makes the vocal feel like it's answering the drums.